fighting the socialists in Washington, exposing the nonsense in Congress, restoring common sense to government. It's Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. We the people must make a stand. So let your voice be heard and call Pete now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Call News studios. That's right, the Call News is your source for local news and sports in Mobile County. It is the best source for your local news coverage, local sports, what's going on in high school sports. They've got it. They've got everything in detail. It's a broadsheet paper. It's what you expect. You need to go to thecallnews.com right now. You subscribe. You can get it online. You can get it delivered to your home. It is a big broadsheet paper with the best local news and sports coverage in Mobile County and the most provocative opinion page you can find anywhere. You need to go there right now. And here we are. Welcome to Common Sense Radio. You are hearing us crisp and clear across the fruited plain. Why? Even though it's a Christmas season, it's St. Nicholas Day, and you would think he would have a higher calling and higher duties on St. Nicholas Day. But no, he is devoted to his duty to make sure that these electrons come to you, whether it's TuneIn Radio or whether it's streaming at FMTalk1065.com or whether it's just coming across your crappy old truck radio sitting out in the out behind the house, behind the garage, so your wife doesn't know what you're doing. It's coming to you, and it comes to you all the time, rain or shine or whatever the season is. Why? Because we have the most dedicated, diligent, tenacious, perseverant, award-winning engineer any money can buy, and we got none. Our executive producer, engineer, and co-host, and all-around nice guy, Mark Holliday.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate the kind words.
You are the guy.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Priceless. Priceless, we say. Priceless.
You can't afford it.
I'm all tangled up here.
You're all tangled up here.
I'm all clear now.
All right.
Settle down.
They're a little rowdy out there, so we need to call in our directory of our director of quality assurance to restore order.
Yes.
She brings dignity and decorum to an otherwise unruly show, so hopefully some of this makes sense. She's a great co-host and executive producer, all-around nice gal, gold star wife, Teresa Taylor, United States Coast Guard.
It's good to be here. It's cold. It feels good to be here.
It's too cold.
I know. I had to pull them out.
I kind of like the little briskness out there, and I'm not a cold weather guy. Trust me.
A little bit of briskness. Today's actually not too bad.
It's not bad.
The last couple of days were kind of a little too chilly.
Yeah.
And when you get down in the 30s, but like if it's 50-something and there's no wind, a little sun, okay.
Not bad.
All right. We've been a busy week. We've got a lot to cover. Obviously, Bush 41 passed. We got to talk about that. There's stuff with Miller, France is burning. We got a guest calling in from Alabama Policy Institute, J. Pepper Briers, a senior fellow. He's going to be calling in about something that kind of gets under the radar we don't know about. But we will get into the details of the Alabama, I think it's called the Alabama Accountability Act, which is a scholarship program for low-income families to send their kids to private school. They get a tax credit. We'll get into that. How the school districts and the teachers union is trying to kill this school choice.
Right.
But we'll get into that in the second half. So we got a lot of things. But probably maybe it's not the most important story, but the one that just stuck in my mind, I had to say, Roll Tide!
I was like, if you don't bring that up, I'm going to.
I couldn't get away from that one.
Honestly, Saturday night, I couldn't sleep.
Were you excited?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
and my blood pressure, I mean, like, it, you know, it's just that roller coaster.
It was an awesome game.
It really was.
You know, you say that, and I know I'm going to catch grief on this.
Go ahead, tell us.
It was an awesome fourth quarter.
Yes, I'm with you. The tide
just blew chunks the first half.
Oh, yeah,
no doubt about it.
No. They didn't even look like the same team.
And trust me, I am a Tua fan all the way. But the best thing that happened for them this game was that he injured his ankle.
Somebody stepped on his ankle and got him out.
Jalen Hurts came in and saved the game.
At halftime, I was saying, put Jalen in. Because, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. Tua is amazing, astounding, unbelievable, freaky good, right?
Some of the games he's done stuff. It was just unbelievable.
It's like, is that humanly possible, right?
Right.
And when he's not doing any of that,
yeah,
you know something is really wrong.
I said someone roofied him. I was like, somebody roofied his Gatorade.
I didn't thought about that.
It's like this is what happened.
It just goes to show you that it all flows from the top. I mean, he directs the team on the field.
Because even the defense was not clicking in the first half.
None of them were doing what Alabama does. None of them.
Even he actually had three different passes that were pretty good.
Yeah.
And they dropped them.
Catch it and dropped it. It's like, are you
Irv Smith dropped
me?
One. Judy dropped one. Yeah. Ruggs dropped one. It was like,
fingers all night.
Yeah. Y'all don't drop passes.
Add that to the interceptions.
Yeah.
Add that to the sacks.
But that's what I mean. You look and go, wait, there's something drastically wrong. This is not us. This is not the game we play.
So great game I'll take issue with. Great fourth quarter.
Yes. I'm all about it. I was so frustrated.
It's a fun game. I know. Because, you know, it's just that gamut of emotion.
But I got so excited when they put Jalen in. But you know, to what you're talking about, here's the stat to me that tells the whole game. Mm-hmm. Tua was 0-for-6 for third down conversions while he was in. 0-for-6.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen gets in, he's 5-for-5.
Yeah.
He converted every third down conversion.
Yeah.
He was ready.
That tells you the story right there. It was a timing thing.
Yeah.
And right now, Mike.
Class guy. I mean.
Oh, what a class guy. I made my wife jump up and down when he said, well, you know, I just turned it all over to God.
Such a good story.
My wife hates football, but she came off the couch.
And, you know, we give the snowflake generation so much, you know, grief.
But again,
you got to remember, this is a good group of guys.
Right.
Just the whole story is just inspiring. It's exciting.
The story I'm pushing and I'm hoping for, that they start Jalen Hurts against Oklahoma. And they tell Oklahoma, watch out. Because if. We'll put the first string in on you if we have to.
Don't try too hard. Yeah.
Save Tua for the national.
Yeah.
Let him heal up. So hopefully. But what a it was.
Yeah, I was running out of outfits.
But you're right. That fourth quarter made me just go,
I mean.
Well, you watch the funny main Jermaine? You know, he does the stick skit.
Oh, he did. I didn't see it.
Well, this one, it was funny.
I bet his was hilarious.
It was. And he talked about, like, changing shirts. Like over, I did the same thing, but I changed. I did a whole new outfit
during what at halftime?
Yes, yes.
It worked.
It worked. I'll do it again if I need to.
That's awesome. Okay, I had to get that out. Okay, let's go. President Bush 41 passed. What was it? Friday night, I guess. The day after we were on the air, and look. I will say, not always agreeing with the man's politics, you know, when it comes to the man has passed, he has served his country well. He was a good and decent man. They're a good and decent family. And even though I say, okay, we bring up the politics, we didn't really always like the politics or whatever, you kind of got to look at the whole picture when somebody passes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
George H.W. Bush was a World War II veteran. He got into from Yale, he got into what was called the Naval Cadet Program, where they literally took people with maybe only 1 or 2 years of college and put them into aviation. Usually it requires a college degree.
Right.
He was one of the youngest fighter pilots in Navy history at 19. He is shot down, I forget now where, in the Pacific. And he's he managed to eject and get into his life raft that goes with him. And he's there for several days before a submarine picks him up.
Right.
An incredible story. I know they try to talk about, you know, he came from Northeast money, which he did. His family did have a lot of money that came. But he went to Texas and made his own way.
Yeah.
He went to the oil field, made his own way. You know, again, when we get up to, you know, by the time some of his politics and view of the globalism, okay, yeah. But when you take it in total, did he love America? Yes.
Yeah.
Did he serve America the best, what he thought was good? And I think the really the biggest thing to take away from this is whether you agree with Bush family politics or not, they are classy people.
Yeah.
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 Everything they did was class, and I big credit to them. And I didn't get all the details out, but apparently they put out to everybody that we're not going to turn this into a Trump bashing. This is about H.W. Bush.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about him? None of this, the funeral or eulogizing, is going to go into Trump bashing like they did with John McCain and some of these other people, right?
Apparently, Joy Behar on The View didn't get that memo.
She did not. A lot of them didn't.
No.
A lot of them didn't. But you know what's funny? And this goes into the about the press. And I have to say this for the people who maybe were not around in 1992 when he left, 88 to 92 when he served. The press hated George H.W. Bush as much as they hate, almost as much as they hate Donald Trump.
Yep.
Not as much, but almost as much. It was really hard sometimes to listen to the really disingenuousness of the press where they covered him. And my point would be, I mean, somebody wrote a column, I can't forget, was one of them said, only good Republicans, a dead Republican for the press.
And,
you know, McCain or whatever. But I'm telling you, they maligned him. They actually cheated him out of his reelection because what you don't remember in 92 is in the election of 1992, the press kept saying, we're on the verge of the worst economy in 50 years. We're about to go into depression. They were the recession had ended 18 months before the 1992 election.
Mm, right. Yeah.
You would never have known it.
Yeah.
Here's another little piece of information about that Bill Clinton election and victory. Bill Clinton only garnered 43% of the vote.
Right.
He only garnered.
Right. Ross
Perot. Anybody remember
Ross
Perot?
Yep.
Was it 19 or 20%?
I thought it was 17, but 19%.
It was almost 20%.
Yeah. In other words, if he had not been in the race, George H.W. Bush
would have been reelected.
Would have been reelected by a landslide.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Even with the read my lips,
yeah. Even with
hanging
read my
on
my
yeah.
lips.
Still.
So Ross Perot, people miss that answer. Okay, we're getting way over because we got to get out. We're past the break. We'll be right back. 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming from the Call News Studios. And hey, we also have a great sponsor, LoopCoin. Stock market's been flat all year. You don't know what's going on, so you need something reliable. You need precious metals, gold and silver. Where do you go? Where do you go, Pete? Teresa, where do you go? You go to LoopCoin. LoopCoin, that's your headquarters to buy and sell gold and silver. So go to LoopCoin at 3972 Government Boulevard. They will help you buy or sell gold or silver. LoopCoin in the corner of Government Boulevard and Azalea Road in Skyland Shopping Plaza. Tell them you heard it on Common Sense Radio. All right, we got to get right. We got an interview with J. Pepper Briers, who is a senior fellow at the Alabama Policy Institute. And he's going to talk to us about something about the Alabama Accountability Act and school choice. And these are things that happen quietly, you know, while we're watching Trump mania.
Right.
we're not paying attention to what's happening in the state.
And Alabama football.
And Alabama football. Sorry. Yeah, we're guilty of that. Hey, Pepper, this is Pete Rehm. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, Pete. Thanks for having me on. As a born and raised in Mobile hometown boy, it's great to be on y'all's station. I appreciate it.
Wow, well, we appreciate you reaching out. And I didn't realize you were from Mobile. That's cool. That's very cool.
Oh, yeah. I grew up off Old Shell Road.
Road. All nice. Right. Yeah, well, it's all stomping grounds down here. So here's the thing that I need you to kind of encapsulate for everybody. The Alabama Accountability Act passed in 2013 was sort of a school choice, not really school choice, but a scholarship program for low-income kids to be able, or their families to be able to send them to a private school. And it's a tax credit, which gets people confused. Can you kind of explain how that works?
Well, a few years ago, Alabama Accountability Act was passed, and in it established these scholarships for low-income families. Now, these are families that are at or below 185% of the poverty level when they apply for the scholarship. That's the same requirement for somebody to get for a free lunch or reduced lunch at school. So
right.
those are the types of families we're talking about.
Which is a lot of people.
And oh yeah, well it serves around 4,000 students across the state right now. Various when you fill out your income tax return for the state of Alabama, you can elect to donate money into this program as a tax credit. And it goes to these several of these scholarship organizations that, you know, offer, that will pay for one of these students to go to these schools. The first people that get an opportunity at those scholarships come from schools that are classified as failing schools, you know,
in right.
the bottom
failing
6%
schools.
Of the schools. So, I mean, we're talking about pretty bad schools. But
now, wait, let me make sure it's clear on the tax credit. So I turn in my Alabama tax return, and let's say I got $500 or $1,000 to taxes to the state of Alabama. I can check a box to – can I donate that entire thing to it, and I get a credit for it?
There are limits, and there are certain ways that you need to go about that, and you'll see that when you go in and fill out your tax forms. And if you have any questions, just ask your tax preparer, or you can search on the internet and find out.
But my point is, you don't have to be a low income family with kids going to school. You can be any taxpayer and say, look, I support the school choice for the low income. I check this, and I want to, whatever my maximum is, whatever you want to donate up to the maximum. You can say, I want this much of my tax payment to go to this program.
There are certain limits. But that's beside the point of what's happening right now.
Okay.
What's going on right now is that the teachers union is coming after this plan, and they're claiming that, and school boards across the state are claiming that this is, quote, stealing money from public schools. In fact, the school boards in Mobile County, the school boards in Baldwin County have recently passed resolutions right. calling for this to be repealed at the state level, and our state lawmakers
Which, Pepper, I'd like for my listeners to text in how many people in Mobile and Baldwin counties know that your school boards did that.
I doubt, and they're saying that they're losing money, and they're not. Okay, so in Mobile, the state funding has increased 8% since these scholarships came online, while the enrollment has shrank by 6%, and that's happening across the state. So public schools are getting more money to educate fewer students, and they're looking at this one program that is one half of 1% of the entire state education
budget.
Trust fund.
But the other thing,
so put it, let me tell you this, Pete, real quick. 99.5% of school budget is going for business as usual, and we're taking half of 1% to give low-income families an opportunity to put their kids in a better environment.
Now, this is very transparent. They don't want any foothold of any kind of school choice.
There you go.
That's pretty clear. They're going to fight that. They don't want any beachhead on school choice. They're going to protect the public schools, not for education, but for the benefit of the teachers and the teachers' union. And I'm not trying to slam teachers, but that's where it's going. The teachers' union is trying to kill it to make sure it never – let me ask you this, because Pepper – It doesn't even make sense on its face, because the way you explain the tax credit, it doesn't affect the money they get. It's just money the state doesn't get. It doesn't affect their budget. It's not coming out of their budget. It's just to the general fund. Is that correct?
Well, here's something to remember. A few days ago, we found out that Alabama is now collecting more money overall into our state education trust fund. And that's a multi-billion-dollar program, and school enrollment is decreasing across the state. It's just because Alabama's not growing as fast as some of our sister states. So, sure, we need more money for public schools, and in some instances, you know, that argument could be made. But you know, we could free up some of the dollars that they're already getting. That argument could be made. But to go after this. And you hit it. You hit the nail on the head, Pete. This is a symbolic attack for them. They do not want any ounce of reform. And this is only 4,000 students
across
the state.
Yes, 4,000. How many kids are there in the state? School children in the state, roughly.
Oh, I don't know, but there's.
I mean, there's 60,000 at least in Mobile School District alone, and that's not counting the private schools.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Pete. Who do you think, when we got together as a community, you know, generations ago, and started collecting taxes for schools, were we thinking about, okay, we need to create a jobs program, or we need to create a public school institution, or were we saying we needed to collect tax dollars to educate our children?
That's exactly, and that's what's been lost. It's the tax dollars are to educate the children in the best way, and not to inculcate them with a lot of nonsense that we hear. I mean, that's why they, you know, when it was all the way down to the one room schoolhouse, you know, the local farmers, they interviewed the school marm.
We need more McGuffey readers.
Yeah,
we need more McGuffey readers.
That's exactly right. So, and what now? Is there any way to get out some of the information about the success of the 4,000 kids to kind of juxtapose
what your listeners can do is go to alabamapolicy.org. You can read some articles that we have up there. You can read some explanations. But what they need to do is call their school board members and their state lawmakers and say, leave the Alabama Accountability Act alone.
Yeah, no, and well, actually, we need to call our state legislators because the school board members, you don't get very far with them. Our legislators are in control. I mean, call the school board members, but the legislators are the ones up there that will or will not change it. And we need to let them know we want this school choice for the and these are probably mostly low income and probably a high percentage minority children.
Very, very high percentage. I believe more than 80% of the two largest scholarship granting organizations in the state, more than 80% of the kids are minorities.
And I would love to see this program go. Look, Pepper, thank you so much. We'd like to get you back, maybe an update on this. And maybe a little more information about the kids.
Next time I'm home, I'll come into the studio there with you.
Yeah, and hey, I'll put a bug in your ear. We might want to talk about the gas tax sometime.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that, too. I'll be back on in a few weeks.
All right. Okay, this is Pepper Briers from the Alabama Policy Institute, and you said it's api.org. Is that right?
No, alabamapolicy.org.
Alabamapolicy.org. Go to alabamapolicy.org. J. Pepper Briers, a senior fellow at Alabama Policy Institute, thank you so much for joining us, and we will be right back.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio, coming to you from the Call News Studios. At the bottom of the hour, we bring back a very special sponsor, ABC Signs and ABC Shirts. You can go to abcshirts.biz, B-I-Z, or abcsigns.biz, B-I-Z. Custom-made dry-fit shirts, custom-made yard signs. They can make promotional items like pens or license plate covers, you name it. And they got a Trump store, America, Make America Great Again store in there. You get your hats, you get your Trump paraphernalia, they got it all. Down on LaRue Steiner Road right off of Highway 90 in Tillman's Corner, ABC Shirts and ABC Signs. That is your headquarters for dry fit custom shirts. They can make custom shirts with whatever graphic on it, whatever sign, if you like want to run for city council, you know, whatever, or whatever you want to run for, they can do it. Call Greg down at ABC Shirts and ABC Signs.biz at 877-744-6750. And they bring you wit and wisdom from our 40th president, which I have to read. It's a short one.
Okay.
A nation that cannot control its borders is not a nation.
Woohoo!
Sweet and simple. I picked that one. The column this week that you can find on the Call News or the Washington County News or the Post in Cherokee County or the Tri-City Ledger up in Fulmington, wherever you want to go.
But never in Baldwin County.
But never in Baldwin County. No. Don't start. Don't get me started, Mark. Don't get me started on that. You know that rubs me wrong every time I think about that. But you get it around a lot of places. Erasing borders to eviscerate sovereignty. And the column is about the nonsense going on our border. Like Reagan said, a nation that cannot control its borders is not a nation. Mm-hmm. Why can't? It's very simple. Most nations control their borders. Oh, yeah. The Europeans control their borders.
Well, even
the Mexicans control their borders until a caravan shows up.
I mean, right. The cell, you know, the basic unit of life, has a membrane. It has its own wall.
Right.
And if it's permeated, it dies.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
exactly.
I mean, like, it's just
when a virus attacks the membrane, the cell membrane wall,
you got problems.
The cell dies, and
yeah, exactly,
and
it's
the virus
just so common sense,
the column about the erasing borders to eviscerate the sovereignty. It talks about the nonsense going on the border, and some of the takeaways are, again, they're painting the narrative. Remember the we're already past it because it's a week past. Remember the tear gas picture?
Right.
Mother, children, please. Oh, my God, Trump is gassing the women and children. What a cruel nation.
Chemical warfare.
Yeah, chemical warfare against poverty-stricken immigrants. Trump is so cruel. You know, and then, you know, of course, thankfully, there's a few conservative journalists out there. Well, we just checked the records, and apparently, on average, the Obama administration gassed them once a month.
Yeah.
Where was the outrage for that?
This is standard operating procedure. When you want to disperse a crowd, you use gas. It's much less lethal than bullets.
Well, and that's the point and actually I had to give credit in there because I heard it from Rush Limbaugh. I had to give it. You're trying to say, we want to immigrate to the United States. We've made this big trek. So your first attempt to enter the United States is to rush the border throwing rocks and sticks and carrying the Honduran flag?
Yeah. You're going to be a great asset to
and then let's take a lesson from the Palestinians and we'll put women and children in front.
Right.
So that when you use a non-lethal tactic, which is tear gas, is what you would do for unarmed people, women and children.
Right.
I mean, hey, I've had tear gas. It's not fun.
No.
But it won't kill you.
It won't kill you.
It won't kill you. It'll make you very uncomfortable, but it won't kill you.
Yeah.
Right? And that is the
proper
tactic.
You'll turn around and leave.
You will work to escape the tear gas.
The gas. Right. Exactly.
Yes, you will.
Yeah.
So it is proper and appropriate. But why, if you're trying to immigrate and say we're here because we want to come to America, why would you assault the border throwing rocks? So Rush, and I had to quote this, and it makes some sense. We've got, because you know a lot of this has been progressively funded, they're trying to create a Gaza Strip on our southern border.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's what he called it, and that's what I wrote about in the column.
Yeah.
The Gaza Strip is to make there's perpetual turmoil where we have constant pictures like that to try to shame us in the travails of these people.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in reality.
And basically what they're saying is, and then there's one more step I got to get to without getting too far in it, because while all this is happening, you know what? How many people know about the United Nations Global Compact for Safe, Orderly, and Regular Migration?
Where are they at? Where are they at?
I don't know.
Did you hear about that?
No, I don't know.
Basically,
about it.
It was passed earlier this year out of the Committee of the United Nations, and they have I forget where they're having it. Somewhere in the world. They're going in about a week. They're having a conference to try to approve this thing. Fortunately, a bunch of countries are backing up. But the United Nations Global Compact on Safe and Orderly and Regular Migration, you know what its hallmark is? It establishes that migration is a basic human right that cannot be denied.
Nope.
So what they're basically doing while we're being rocks thrown at, they're trying to erase our borders.
Get us out of the United Nations now. That's been a hallmark, a cry for the last 40 decades. Get us out of the UN now.
Because if migration is a human right, guess what? There is
no border.
There's no border. Right. There's no sovereignty.
No.
Anybody can come and go.
It's globalism at its zenith.
And it's like the thing with the school choice. Here we are. We're all worried about, you know, if Trump said the Apostles' Creed yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this crap is going
worrying
on.
About tweet.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Okay, Miss Margaret has been holding on very patiently. She even had to call back. So I have to make amends. We have another guest on who is a dear, dear friend I've known since I was all the way still back in the Navy. Started out with Operation Homefront together. We've done Honor Flight South Alabama. So many wonderful things for our veterans. And Miss Margaret Coley, God bless her, because she would do all the work and I would stand out there and take all the credit. So I love her dearly for her servant's heart and everything. Miss Margaret, how are you?
I'm wonderful.
Well, good. Look, you've got another great program. You want to tell me about the Family Wreath Day on the 15th of December at 10 a.m. at the Veterans Cemetery there in Spanish Fort. Can you tell me about it?
Yes, I'd like to extend an invitation to all our Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, and anyone that's young at heart and their families to come to the Alabama State Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Spanish Fort to place flag wreaths on each veteran that's interred there, along with their family members. That is, as we approach the holiday season, it's a way to honor them and to teach our young people the reason that we live so freely. And you're so able to talk about the things that you do on your radio station. It's just a wonderful...
Right, it's a way to honor them and show them it. We don't forget their sacrifice. We don't forget their service. We take time to go out there and decorate their graves.
Is this a little bit like Wreaths Across America? Is it connected to that or just similar?
It's not connected to Wreaths Across America, but it's a similar...
Similar, okay, very good.
...idea. We just do it a little bit differently.
Well, that makes a big difference.
It would thrill your heart to see the families that come and walk through there, and they're so grateful and appreciative. So it's not only for the person who's buried there, but it's for their family.
So, right. So some of the families of the interred show up as well?
Yes. Anyone who wants to come and help us, we're extending that invitation. But we focus on our young people.
Yeah, now the young people need to see that it means enough to us to remember this, that we will get up on a Saturday morning and go out there and put these wreaths, these flag wreaths out to remember their service and sacrifice. And you do need help because, what, you got to put about 1,300 of them out. Is that right?
That's right. They inter 4 to 5 people a day, I've been told.
A day. So it's actually exceeding... Because I forget now how long we've had that cemetery. We fought for 40 years to get it, and I think we've had it, what, 5 years?
Yes.
About 5 years?
We've had the family wreath day, yes.
Is there a link or something where I can post so all of our listeners can get that information if they want to plan?
Yeah, do you got a website or something, a Facebook page that has all that?
We do not, but they can feel free to contact me if they have any questions.
I'll
just do a general post with the information.
Yeah,
that
the information.
Great.
You just got to show up. It's the Saluda Hill Veterans Memorial, the Alabama State Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Spanish Fort, which is up 225 up there near Blakely Park.
Yep.
A beautiful site. And 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, the 15th, really get in the holiday season by remembering those that served and sacrificed. And put a flag wreath out, and it'll be impactful for your, especially for the kids.
Miss Margaret, Mark Holliday here. I know that these wreaths are not, they're not free, they're not cheap. Is there some place, if somebody wants to be involved but maybe just doesn't have the physical ability to actually come out, if they can make a contribution, is there any program set up for that?
They can make a donation to the Alabama State Veterans Memorial Foundation. Well, Alabama State Veterans Cemetery Memorial Foundation.
Yeah, there's a, and I should know it, I'm on that board. There is a website for that, and we can post that.
Okay.
I forget what the website is, but there is a website. Right. If we Google it, we'll find the website. I should know it off the top of my head.
I'm on it.
Okay, perfect. And we'll post. Miss Margaret, thank you so much for all that you do. And we hope we'll see you on the 15th at 10 a.m. with a whole bunch of kids out there putting these flag wreaths out.
Thank you, Pete, so much.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
All right, folks, we will be right back. We have lines open at 251-343-0106. Taxman texted in that the AEA is damn greedy. And then he said the Alabama legislature is the swamp, not worth a damn sellout to lobbyists. Then I don't think I can say the rest of it. But anyway, look, the text lines are open. We're open. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Common Sense Radio with your host, Pete Rehm. To talk to Pete, call now at 343-0106.
All right, welcome back to Common Sense Radio. The time has flown. We had a guest slot to go on, but look, we got to get a couple of things out. You know, we had said last week that the 2018 midterm election is over.
No.
We were wrong.
No. Yep.
There is one race, congressional race, left undecided in North Carolina.
Yeah, I saw the headline.
And they're holding it up there, even though the Republican has won by 905 votes, they're holding it up from certification because there is a charge of ballot harvesting fraud. This is why this one's interesting. I don't know how many of you know what ballot harvesting is, but ballot harvesting is basically going around to folks who have applied for absentee ballots and they may or may not have sent them back in.
Mm-hmm.
The way the law reads in most states, only a family member or guardian can carry your take your ballot for you and carry it down and deliver it.
Right.
But there's a lot of these activists that go around and they collect these things. And actually, the way they do it is they go around beforehand and they visit infirmed people or people they know don't vote very much. And they say, look, let us help you fill this absentee ballot request out. Okay?
Right.
And then when it comes, call us. And we'll come back and we'll take care of it. And, of course, if you need any assistance in filling it out, because you don't know these, but we do, and we're nice people because we're going to come turn your vote in. Now, here's the interesting thing. Usually, it's Democrats who are really good at making sure people get absentee ballots and get them turned back. It's usually that's a big Democrat thing.
Yeah.
About, you know, that's not the case. The charge in North Carolina.
The charge is the Republican.
The charge is that Republican activists went to collect them
and
throw them away. They didn't turn them in.
Throw them away.
That's the charge.
Okay.
So, again, here we can never resolve it because we don't really know if they picked – I mean, how do you prove where they picked them up and they never turned them in?
Yeah, it's like
– and where are they now? So how do we go back and try to find them if they actually did it?
Exist.
If they actually ever existed, where do you find them if they – you know – and now we're going to count them after the fact.
Right.
That's actually a pretty slick trick if they could say, look, here's a – and this is so clever, the Democrats. Here's a box of ballots that the Republicans threw away.
Right, right.
Love it. Anyway.
Here's a group of people who actually wanted to vote and had application for the ballots, but they never got turned in, and they would have all voted for the Democrats.
And they all would have voted for the Democrats.
They would have all voted for the
Democrats. But think how clever.
Oh, man.
Instead of saying it was the Democrat who lost them and found them and turned them back in, we're going to blame it on the Republicans.
Yeah.
We found it. Gnarly Republicans tried to throw it. I don't know all the details.
There's a lot of trial balloons out there.
Yeah.
A lot of tests that have been going on to see what works and what doesn't work. Because 2020 is just around the corner.
Oh, and it's going to be even worse.
Yep, you know it.
Okay, another quick thing to get out there, 90-day truce in the tariff wars. You know, people are kind of yawning about that, but there's a lot of money at stake. It looks like these are all being slowly worked out. Another quick headline, for the first time in 75 years, the United States of America is a net oil exporter.
Yeah.
We now export more than we import.
Yep.
So thank you, President Trump, for those things moving ahead. And then the last thing I wanted to get into, because we should be kind of paying attention to this. France is burning.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I was looking at that today.
Now, wait a minute.
The
now, this is
vest.
A really interesting thing. Think about what's happened. It wasn't that long ago that President Macron, whatever, I forget his first name, of France – chastised Trump to say that, you know, we in the developed countries, we should think more than beyond what's – because he was chastising for the America first.
Right, right.
Right, saying, no, America first. You can't always think of yourselves first. You must think of the other people. And you must put the other people ahead of your own people. And so we in France, we will impose a heavy fuel tax on our people because we think of other people before the French people. Mm-hmm. And he thought that was pretty erudite and magnanimous.
Right.
Apparently the French people weren't buying into that crap.
How'd that work out for you, Mac?
No. They're having riots and they're setting fires, burning vehicles. The vehicles are numbering in the hundreds across all the different cities in France. They don't want this fuel tax. I mean, so we have to have a little bit of sympathy or compassion for them because, you know, we went nuts over tea tax on tea.
Right.
Absolutely.
But now here's the other part that kind of.
You want to tax the gas? We'll burn the gas.
I don't want to just say, oh, yeah, see, it just blew up in their face. It did blow up in their face. But you know what's missing from the reporting? Because here's what doesn't make sense to me. This violent protest looks to me like Antifa stuff.
Yeah.
You know, disgruntled something. Truck drivers and farmers and decent human beings who come forth and say, look, we're hardworking people and this gas tax hits us. They might protest. They might have a rally. They might march through the streets. But where is this every night burning car?
Students.
Yes.
And youths.
Yep. Who they are? Why? And in the reporting, you're not hearing anything about who is actually protesting. We should be watching this because right. that. Trust me, Antifa in the United States is watching that. So,
absolutely.
Are
absolutely.
We out of time already?
We're almost out of time,
oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What does this get back to the textbooks from the 50s, reading, writing, arithmetic, true American history? Oh, this is about the thing about teaching. We're already out of time.
Hey, McGuffey readers.
McGuffey readers.
Pick one up. Pick up a set. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Look, we will be back next week. The big thing this week is Army-Navy game this Saturday. Ooh. Go Navy. Beat Army. Although I have to admit, it's probably not likely since my Army's ranked. But honey, it's time to come home. See you next week.
Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider.